Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. May yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'd. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. قال تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول. وقال تبارك وتعالى والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء مع من أحب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved ulama ikram, hafaz, elders and brothers and all those listening over the receivers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider. Peace and salutations be upon our beloved master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once a sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when is Qiyamah? When is Qiyamah? Day of judgment. When is the day of judgment going to take place? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, okay, what have you prepared for that day? He's asking a very big question, but what preparations have you made for that day? So he thought and then he said that I don't have too much of salah or extra acts of ibadah or charities etc. on my name, but one thing I know is that I love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam very dearly. I love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam very, very dearly. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in response to that answer, "Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba," that a person will be with that person whom he loves. A person will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, and he will be in the company of those people whom he loves. And a very important aspect for today for us to remember is whom do we love? And when we say we love somebody or we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does that mean? How does it need to translate into practical application in our lives? Another sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when I'm sitting at home and I'm thinking and reflecting that on the day of Qiyamah, or when we pass away from this world and we go to the next world in Jannah, then you're going to be with in a lovely, lofty position. You're going to have a high paradise and Jannah. In this world, if I want to see you, it's easy. I can come and see you. You know, you're available, accessible. But most certainly in the hereafter, you're going to have a high position. Now, how am I going to access you? I want to see you and be in your company. Then how that's going to happen? So, Rasulullah SAW never respond. He remained silent. And some narrators say that the ayah of the Quran was revealed subsequently to this condition or this query that this person, concern he had. What's going to happen on the day of Qiyamah if I want to see Rasulullah SAW? So the ayah of the Quran was revealed, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ, that those people who will obey and have ita'at of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, then when we have ita'at of Rasul, then inshaAllah these people will be مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ, they will be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the Siddiqeen, the truthful people and the pious servants of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, wa Shuhada and the martyrs and the righteous people. Wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa, and to have these people as your rafiq, as your companion, and some person that you're sharing an area with, an ability to interact and meet them, that is a very hasun thing, it's a very good thing. But the criteria and the requirement for giving and for having that opportunity to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ita'atul Rasul, is to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we spoke about hubbur Rasul and loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with those people whom he loves. And we talked about another term which is called ita'atul Rasul, and that is having obedience for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now these are very important aspects. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, he says, kullu bani Adam yadkhulul jannata illa man aba. Everybody is going to go Jannah. You're going to enter into paradise except those who refuse. Illa man aba. Qila wa man ya'ba. Who are those people who don't want to go into Jannah? Who are refusing entry into Jannah? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man ata'ani dakhala al Jannah. Whoever has ita'at, the same word is used again. Yuti'illah, yeah, he says, man ata'ani, that whoever obeys me, whoever has ita'atul Rasul, then dakhala al-jannah, he is going to enter into Jannah. Wa man asani faqad aba. And whoever goes contrary to ita'atul Rasul, he doesn't have the obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is as though he is refusing, faqad aba, he is refusing entry into Jannah. Now, the rest of my discussion for today is actually going to center around an incident and a story. And that is stemming from this introduction of Hubbur Rasul and Ita'atul Rasul and how we need to bring it practically alive in our lives. And perhaps the salient feature is to make, an aspect that I want to focus on is making Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam our hero, our role model, and trying to emulate him and follow him and copy him and make him our superstar and hero that we follow rather than any other things. We're living in a very dangerous time and environment. We're living in an environment of where, if I just take the example of sports, it has really engulfed our community to such an extent that all the time is consumed in that. They've made these people and the super sports stars and heroes there. They're heroes, they follow them in everything. The way that person cut his hair, copying cutting our hair. The way he dressed, that's how we're going to dress. And the amount of time that is being consumed. Saturday, there's a soccer. Sunday, there's soccer. During the week, there's some other sports that are taking place. And it is taking away a very valuable ni'mat of Allah Tabarak, who has given us, and that is our time. The ni'matani maghbunun fiya kathirun minan nas. The Prophet said, two bounties of Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala, many of us are deceived with regards to, and that is al-sihatu wal-faraq. It's our time that we have at our disposal. And if you have to analyze the week, if tomorrow is Saturday, and you look at the schedule, the amount of sports that is taking place, it's not cricket, then it's soccer, and then it's this, then it's that, and then Monday, and then Tuesday night, and then the whole week is just consumed, and the valuable time that is being taken up by us giving our hearts and our times. Yes, there is a space, and there is a time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the health, and we should be engaging in some type of sports and social activity. It is important, but not to the extent where we become affected emotionally, and is taking our person's happiness, is relying on his team winning, and his sadness also on his team losing. It has now become an emotional and a personal thing, and conflicts, arguments, fights are taking place because of who you supporting, which team is winning and which team is losing. And the amount of money that is being used in the sports and the gambling that is there and the drugs that is there, I'm not going to go into that discussion right now today for another time inshallah. But I'm painting it in the context of being Rabiul Awwal. And I started talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one that we claim, and we have to have Hubbur Rasul, and we have to have ita'atul Rasul in our lives. So coming back to the incident that I'm going to mention, keeping that in mind, we have to prioritize our time and not make any of these activities consume our valuable time to the extent that we become ghafil, become unmindful of our true obedience and allegiance. It's supposed to be to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is supposed to be our hero. Most of our valuable time is supposed to be in aspects of deen, But we're giving that all our scrap and spare time, na'udhu billah, and our prime time, an important time is being given to these activities. So perhaps, in an incident I'm going to spend the rest of our discussion, we can extract and look at how the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, just one incident I'm going to mention, but it's a little bit of a detailed incident, but how they practically displayed, and in their lives, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sort of flowing. So there was a Sahabi by the name of Sa'id ibn Amir al-Jumahi. Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi radiallahu ta'ala an. He mentions a very beautiful incident that comes in the books of Sirah, that he was initially a non-Muslim. He was amongst the mushriks. And at that time, they had captured, it was just post the Battle of Badr. Battle of Badr took part at place very early in the second year of Hijri. And the Kuffar had lost many of the people in that battle. So they were looking for opportunities for revenge. So they had captured another Sahabi by the name of Khubayb bin Adi. The Kuffar had captured him. And they wanted to take revenge for all those people that were killed in the Battle of Badr. So they got opportunity. There, this person is there now. He is the prisoner. And they were going to slay him. So they had him tied up in chains. And they were dragging him in a public platform. And all this Kuffar and Mushrik. And they're celebrating. And they're cheering. And they're clapping their hands. That now we're going to now take revenge for all our family people that were killed in the Battle of Badr. And Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi, is there. So the narrator of this incident is Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi. Let us not forget this name. So Khubayb bin Adi, he is there. He's standing there and everybody is cheering. Perhaps they're stoning him and they want to crucify him. So he asked them for the opportunity. He says, give me the opportunity of performing 2 rakats of salah. They say, okay, no problem. Laughing, they think it's like a big joke. No problem, do what you have to do. But we're still going to sort you out and take your life. So he performs 2 rakats of salah. And he finishes it quite quickly. And he says to them that I didn't finish it quickly out of fear of dying. But I just finished it quickly because I want you to think that I want to escape what you're going to do to me. In fact, there's a Nafil Salah, which is a Salah that we perform before a person in the state. It mentioned that this Sahabi Khubayb bin Adi is amongst the first person, or he is the first person that had performed this 2 rakats of Salah before being martyred. So they asked him a question. They said to Khubayb, this is your position now. You are tied up. You are about to be crucified. We're going to slay you. Will you like that now we take you and put you in a safe position and Muhammad, na'uzu billah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is taken and put in your position? Replace it. Because now maybe they thought this is an opportunity. He wants to, you know, save his life. He said, I would not like for even a thorn to prick Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst I am safe of him. And when he gave this response, they started now clapping their hands and making more noise. So now Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi is witnessing all of this. And they started to crucify him and they chopped his body up into pieces. So he says, before they did that, he also made the dua, Allahumma ahsihim adada. Waqtulhum badada, then oh Allah, you count them, you take care of them. And Sa'id bin Amir, he says, I was witnessing all of this. At that time, I remember I said he was not a Muslim. He's witnessing this entire scene that is out and he's feeling very, very helpless. I couldn't help him. I was not part of the crowd that supported the slaying of this particular individual. Subsequently, Allah made it such that Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi radiallahu anhu, he then made the hijrah and he went to Medina Munawwara and he accepted Islam and he became one of the great Sahabi of Rasulullah SAW, which took part, he participated in many battles. Rasulullah SAW passed away, came to the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi, the same person, now he in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, we're sort of skipping in the lines of history, we went quickly, we're fast forwarding. And he came to the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. Then Umar radiallahu anhu now is appointed as Amir al-Mu'mineen, Khalifatul Mu'mineen. So now Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi goes up to Umar radiallahu anhu, gives him advice amongst different things. He tells him
that you must fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with regards to how you treat people. And he tells him that don't let your public life contrary to your private life. In other words, you must be transparent. And lots of advices he gives him. So Umar radiallahu said to him, okay, you appointed me as a khalifa. Now I want to appoint you as the governor of Hims. Hims is an area, current day also, I think it's still called Hims in Syria. I want to appoint you as a governor of that area. So he said to Umar radiallahu anhu, hey, no, I can't take that responsibility, you know, to look after the affairs of this very, very heavy duty and task. Please excuse me. So Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, okay, you made me the Amir and a Khalifa and you appointed me, but you don't want to help me. You're putting me to go through all this difficulty and hard, hardships of taking affairs, looking after the affairs, but you yourself don't want to help. When he realized, now, you know, I am in the corner now, I have to help. So he reluctantly took up that post as being the Amir, the governor of Hims, the place in Syria. So Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumri was in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, was the governor in charge over there. It is said that now, Umar radiallahu anhu, each one of these also there's lessons for us. Umar radiallahu anhu took this, he appreciated and he acknowledged, he picked out the qualities, the people that had capabilities. He gave them, he delegated tasks to them and he gave them the opportunity. And that is also something for us to bring into our lives. We shouldn't think that we are indispensable and keep everything to ourselves and not share with others. And especially if you know people have potential and ability of doing something, we must harness that. We must pick out, hey, you know, look at my son now. Maybe he's a little bit green, but I need to give him the opportunity. Or look at a certain person who's working for me. I need to give him that opportunity of growth. It's a type of investment. It's a type of sadaqah also. Sometimes we think of sadaqah as just giving money. Yes, it's a type of sadaqah. But imagine if you saw somebody, maybe not so good as you are, or not good as somebody that you know has the skill, but you think, hey, this boy here or this girl, she got the potential. Let me empower them. Let me give them opportunity. They'll make little bit of mistakes. They might slip up, fall down. But you empower, you give them that opportunity. And it's also part of our succession planning in our businesses, our organizations. So unfortunately, we think we're indispensable. I must be the chief there and the boss and only I know everything. And we don't want to train other people and equip other people. And sometimes what happens, it's you that goes away. When you are gone, you went away with all your knowledge and everything, organizational knowledge, even your home. Only you know what is happening. Sometimes it's the businesses, whatever, different circumstances, different situations. But very important part we extract from this, Umar radiallahu anhu saw Sa'id ibn Amir al-Jumri as a capable person. He gave him that opportunity of growth. He said, you go there. You take care of the affairs. Help me in doing my task. And each one of us, we have to start thinking in this manner. We should not be selfish and become independent. I'm going to do everything myself. I'm not going to allow anybody to share anything. This world will come to a standstill when I'm not sure. No. When you're going to leave this world, the world must continue. And it's our type of investment and opportunity. It's our sadaqah. When you will train others, equip them, give them opportunities, send them for some training course. Let them become part and share with you. See how I am doing certain things. And I want you now to go do it. And he'll go and do it and make a mistake. You'll teach him. Stand up. Carry on. This is what you need to do. So Umar radiallahu anhu appointed him. He becomes the Khalifa of that, the Emir of that area. And Umar radiallahu anhu used to also then take reports. And the narration, it comes in Hayat al-Sahaba, that the delegation, he went there or the delegation came to Umar radiallahu anhu. And that place was known as a mini Kufa. Hims was known as a mini Kufa. The reason for that is because the people of Kufa always complained about their leader. In Hims also, they always complained about the leader. So he used to take Kalguzari. Kal means report back. Ask them about the leader. Again, a very important aspect. You got people appointed. It's nothing wrong to find out, okay, so-and-so is your manager. So-and-so is your boss. So-and-so is in charge of you. These are all organizational things. Even your family, you give somebody a task. Take a report back now. You were supposed to do certain things. How's it going? Ask the students, ask the employees, not for any other reason, just for finding faults or to make ghibah, to back chat. It's for development and for growth. And if you are the person as the leader and somebody shows you that these are the faults we have, you must very willingly accept it. And if you are the subject and you are asked with a clean heart, you must disclose that this is what the Amir is doing, or this is what my manager is doing, this is what my boss is doing. But the intention must be very clear. Not for the sake of running down somebody or so that you can take his position, so that's why now you're going to brand him. But for the sake of organizational growth or the family unity to be maintained, whatever they could be, I'm just giving broad guidelines. So he used to take report back and used to ask them, what is happening? So he asked them, tell me, Sa'id ibn Amir. In fact, he also asked them to come with a list of all the poor people in the area. So they came with a list, all the poor people. Umar is reading the list, so-and-so's name, so-and-so's name. He comes to a name, Sa'id bin Amir. So he asked, who is this Sa'id bin Amir? He says, our governor. He says, your governor. And he is counted amongst the poor. He says, yes, for many, many days. Many, many days, there is no food in his house. There is no food in his house. Another point, the leader of a nation, now you might think that I'm talking about government. No, it's even applicable to each one of us. You leader in your home, in your business. He is not the boss where he just commands people and he does everything. Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. Remember the saying, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. The leader of a people or a group or a company is the one that makes the most amount of khidmat. He serves them. So Sa'id ibn Amir was the governor. He could have went there, got somebody to press his legs, somebody to press his head, live in a palatial home, a very comfortable life. No. He was living a life of total poverty. The money that was given to him by Umar radiallahu anhu, gave him about 1,000 dinars, he went and he distributed it amongst all the poor of the area. And his name is listed now as being the poor. So he lived a life of simplicity, of khidmat for the creation. So he then asked them, okay, tell us about your Amir. So they had four complaints. Four complaints about the Amir. I'm going very quickly because of time restriction. The first complaint they said, our Amir, he comes very, very late. Comes out to work, he's supposed to come 7 o'clock, I'm just giving an example. He pitches up 9 o'clock, coming late every day. Second complaint, now Umar radiallahu anhu, he doesn't know Sa'id bin Amir as being that type of person. But they said, no, the second complaint is even worse than the first one. He said, what the second complaint? He says, he is inaccessible at night. During the day, we can see him, but at night, he's not available. He's supposed to be somebody that we can, if we have any need, we can access him. So, Umar now is getting worried, complains about the person he had appointed. What's the third complaint? The third complaint, they said, one day every month, absent. We don't see him at all. Now Umar is getting more upset, getting more like worried. And the fourth complaint was that every now and again he falls unconscious. Every now and again, unconscious. Now Umar radiallahu anhu, again, another lesson. He listened to their complaints. He then verified the information. People will come and say things about this person, about their wife, your daughter, your brother, your sister, another employee. Never even think, never forget about reaching a conclusion. We shouldn't even think anything until and unless we verify that information. So they had complaints. You listen to the complaints and verification has to take place. So he then calls, summons Sa'id ibn Amir and he says, this is the complaints the people have. What have you to say about this? He says, you know what, this is a secret. But now since they have brought it out in the public, I have to explain. And he said that the first complaint they had was, I come late every day. That is because I don't have anybody to help with the household work. I get up, I make the bread, and I wait for it to rise, I bake the bread, I take care of the needs at home, and then I get to work. Umar says, oh, okay. What about the second one now? At night you're inaccessible. That's not how my directives are supposed to be, open door policy. He says, well, I have dedicated my days to the creation and my nights to the creator. Oh, okay, subhanallah. See, what about the third one? One day a month, they're not seeing you. Where are you going for holiday? Having a party, na'uzubillah. He says, no, one day every month, I only have one set of clothes. That one day, I sort of make some arrangements to cover my body, and I make that clothes, I wash it, wait for it to dry, put it on, so that one day of the month, I'm not able to see to their needs. Subhanallah. See, the last one, how come every time you're getting unconscious, there's something wrong with your health, what's happening there? He says, no, I have this type of overwhelming concern, that I was there at the time. I mentioned the incident for those that came late now. Maybe you will have to figure it out some other time. In the beginning of my discussion, I mentioned the incident of Sa'id ibn Amir witnessing the slaying of Khubay bin Adi. And he says, how I feel helpless. How I'm going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was present there and I allowed this brutal act to take place. how am I going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The fear of accountability in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it so overtakes me that I fall down unconscious. So this was the response to the four queries and the four complaints that the people had against Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala, Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumayni radiallahu ta'ala an. The incident goes on, but we are short for time. I started off my discussion in the beginning about the Sahabi saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when will Qiyamah take place? And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him what he prepared for Qiyamah. He says, I don't have too much of salah, I don't have too much of charity, but I love you and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam very dearly. Rasulullah sallam said to him, Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A person will be with those whom he loves on the day of Qiyamah. Then I mentioned the incident of obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Sahabi is saying to Rasulullah sallam, you're going to be in a high state in the day of Qiyamah. How are we going to reach you and see you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayahs of the Quran. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ Whoever obeys Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will be مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ inshallah on the day of Qiyamah. So حُبُّ الرَّسُول, love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and itaat al-Rasul. And I mentioned this incident to show you how these Sahaba practically lived their lives in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which was simplicity, which was contentment. And there's so many other lessons that could have been extracted. But ultimately, my main message for today was to tell us that, see, we all have, mashallah, different hobbies and things that we like to do and sports that we follow. But let it not overpower and dominate our lives to such an extent that we become infatuated. We have become fanatics. The word fan comes from the word fanatic. And fanatic means to have the over-enthusiasm, over-zeal, so much so that it affects our emotions. And we have become unmindful and our priorities have been shifting. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, every day of the week, there's this league, this championship, this football, this cricket, this. So much of time has been consumed. And it has taken us away from our true objective and true obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas many times, even our fundamentals of our deen have become compromised. We can make it emotional. We start swearing each other and we become vulgar with each other and rude and disrespectful just because your team won or your team lost. Our allegiance ultimately is in obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that also perhaps ties down to this very important month of Rabi'ul Awal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May He grant us ita'at of Rasul, ability to obey Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect and dimension of our lives. And importantly, we should try and read about the life of Sahaba ikram and try and extract these points and see how we can bring it alive and practically apply it in our lives, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.